Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Unmotivated Habits Podcast. My guest today is Krishna Bhatta. Dr. Bhatta is an author, a surgeon, an inventor, and he's currently the practicing chief of urology at Northern Light Eastern Medical Center in Bangor, Maine. And this is a special episode because we cover a topic and a habit about which I'm passionate, and that is silence. Krishna and I share a love for intermittent silence, and I hope everyone listening will come away feeling like it's something they might want to incorporate into their daily routine. And we'll cover it in depth, but I'd like to say up front that sitting in intentional silence for 10 minutes a day, and I didn't start with 10, I started with 2 or 5 or whatever I could do, but doing this has definitely changed my life over the past few years, and I highly recommend everyone give it a try. And with that said, everyone, please enjoy today's episode. Krishna, thank you very much for coming on my podcast. I appreciate it. As we spoke a little bit before, this topic of silence and meditation, it's something that I'm very passionate about because I practice it in my own life, but it's also something that I can't really explain why it benefits me so much. I just feel the benefits and I know it benefits me, but I'm obviously not an expert on the topic. It's just something I've incorporated because I know it works. You, on the other hand, you're an author, surgeon, inventor, and you're the practicing chief of urology at the Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you're much more credentialed than me on this topic. So I wanted to first ask, is this kind of a lifelong passion of yours?
It has been a lifelong passion, starting from very young age. And it got really, I got more passionate once I got into medical school. So I was doing medicine, I was doing meditation, kind of, you know, going hand in hand, meeting my mentors in medicine, meeting my mentors in spirituality. And it was fun journey. The whole journey has been tremendous. And then being a doctor, being a scientist, I have been able to kind of process it in a way and package it in a way that's more, I can communicate better.
Sure. Yeah. And one of the ways you say that, I read this, I forget where, but you said you dream of a world where Eastern wisdom and Western discoveries embrace each other to make the world a better place. And as you know here, it's in America, it's kind of like there's the Eastern way and there's the Western way. There's Western medicine and all the science behind it, but people kind of separate it from the more ancient Eastern wisdom. But there's no problem in combining the two. In fact, it's a great harmony, and I think that's what you're trying to convey, correct?
Very much so. It's funny you mentioned that because our mind also separates materialism and spiritualism as different things.
Yeah, yeah.
And why can't we have both?
Exactly. And I don't know where along the line that they got separated to where you can't have both, but people seem to think that way.
Yeah, they think that, you know, if you are being a spiritual, materialism is something bad. But materialism is real. Spiritualism is also real. It may be more real. But, you know, it's like if I have to meditate and it's cold and I'm freezing, my body is not going to like that. The body is not happy. The meditation mind is not going to work.
So are there any specific ways that you incorporate it into your medical practice?
So it's how do I say it? When you do exercise and then you say, how do you incorporate exercise in your daily life? I mean, your body is healthy. Your muscles develop. You can do, you know, feel better. So the same way, if it's a combination of body, mind, and the flame, that's what how I describe nowadays. So body is the physical body. And you need a comfortable body, you need a healthy body, because without the body, even if you have the mind, best mind, can't do anything. You need your physical body, you know. The same way, you have a healthy mind, and then you should also have the flame of consciousness. We all have an individual consciousness. Mm-hmm. This component is not talked much about.
No.
We talk about body, we talk about mind, body-mind, you know, institute and centers, but very little attention is paid to individual consciousness, the bigger consciousness that we all talk about. And I talk a lot about this individual consciousness. We are born with different levels of body, different levels of mind, different levels of individual consciousness. Some of us stress out on simplest things. Some of us don't stress out on the biggest things. And that's where the level of flame counts. That's the real source.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues. That continues the journey from life to life, whereas the physical body may not. But the body also has another element. And that element, so food, they call it food body, or in Sanskrit, they call Annamaya Kosha. And then there is another body, which is called energy body, which is Pranamaya Kosha, which is the life energy. And that energy body also, many people talk about. The Chinese say that Qi, Japanese call it Ki.
Mm-hmm.
In the East, there is chakras. And that's all based on the energy body growth. And in some ways, you want to have a high energy living. Higher the energy, more peaceful you are.
Mm-hmm.
Lower the energy, more irritable you are, in simple terms.
And when you talk about that energy and consciousness is a, no matter how much study I do, how much meditation I do, consciousness is still a tough concept to wrap one's head around. Can you speak a little bit about consciousness and kind of what it is?
Yes, I mean, consciousness is whenever you go in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Who is observing your silence? So the witness, we say witness, you know, the watcher, who is watching all this that is happening to you? People have separated that into two. And one is the individual consciousness portion of you. And then the thing that goes with that is awareness. So if there was no awareness, you won't know about your individual consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It is very similar to mind having. So mind, in my description, has two components. One is minding. That's the one that is thinking, that's processing, that's always going somewhere other than where you are.
Yeah.
Sometimes dreaming. The other part is mindfulness. So that's a component of mind. Mindfulness. And mindfulness, I describe it like a camcorder or a camera. So you switch it on, then you are recording everything. You are being mm-hmm. aware of every movement, every little thing, you know, hand movement or lip movement or whatever you can be aware of. Then you are being aware of all those things, mindfulness. And awareness is a property of that consciousness that comes in. You know, people talk about like mindfulness as if it's a big thing, but
mm-hmm.
look at, if you go into this commando training or SEAL training or a big basketball player, their awareness, I mean, they are aware of who is at 90 degrees or, you know, or 180 degrees back there, and they pass the ball. I mean, mindfulness can be improved. Awareness can be improved. In our day-to-day life, we do that. I mean, as you said, you practice silence.
Mm-hmm.
I met people who go hunting in Maine, and they walk miles silent, alone, with a gun, of course, you know, and they are aware of where the animals are walking or where they are aware of a lot of their surrounding, and that's no different than being mindful.
The thing is, though, a lot of people go through every day, 24 hours of every day, kind of on autopilot. And that's what I see in myself when I sit down for that intentional time of silence, I am mindful of the fact that I've gone, you know, say if I'm doing it at night, I've gone a whole day without being aware or without being mindful. I've woken up, I've done everything. I've done my work, made my coffee, ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner without being mindful or aware. I've just been kind of going on autopilot. When you stop, you talk about that inner voice. It's going on in the background all the time. And we're not really aware of it. And that's where that, I think you call it intermittent silence, right?
The reason I call it intermittent is, and as you said, that sleep time, you do that 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I said to do it 10 minutes. It's something that you're doing for 10 minutes in a concentrated form. But the experience that you get, it starts penetrating your 24 hours.
Exactly, right.
So the practice itself helps you. It opens new doors. And any meditation you want to do, the practice of intermittent silence is going to help you. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you the four steps that go along with intermittent silence. And probably you do all the four, but you probably haven't segmented it like that. Mm-hmm. So the four steps are, first of all, you close your mouth. So you be without words for 10 minutes. Look at the effect on brain of that one. So all the centers in the brain associated with words, speech, and that segment of your mouth, you know, processing, get rest for 10 minutes. So even if it has no other benefit, those cells are thanking you. Mm-hmm. So the same way, close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, all the visual pathway is resting. And then the third one is silent listening. So any sound that's coming through, just let it pass by. You don't need to judge it, whether it is a good sound or a bad sound or ugly sound. Or, you know, if it is nice, it's nice. I sometimes like to do it when I'm going hiking or I'm going on the coast of Maine. I lie down on a bench or a stone. Close my eyes, and I have an app which is Relax with 2X, and that has a timer that gives that 10 minutes, and there is a music at the end. So I just put it on, and then I go into that. So silent listening, you can listen to the, you know, the waves splashing or the trees, winds blowing, rustling of the trees or leaves, and the birds chirping. I mean, those are nature sounds, beautiful, really, you know. 10 minutes of silence in that is amazing. And the last one is watching your thoughts just go by, let it transit. And of course, mindfulness comes with that.
So everything you just described, it's passive, it's not active. You're just letting everything happen. You're essentially not doing, as far as you're closing your mouth, closing your eyes, and then just listening, but just letting it pass. So the thoughts, you know, acknowledging them, letting them pass. That is, a lot of those are, they're the cornerstones of meditation. But you put it in a way that's very accessible. A lot of people that I've spoken to, they'll say, yeah, I tried meditating. I couldn't do it. And I my question is, well, what are you doing? So you don't really have to do anything. What are some of the misconceptions about meditation that are causing all these roadblocks for people?
So I'm not even going to meditation. I'm saying just practice intermittent silence. And somehow the people who have said that they find meditation tough, you know, seem to at least are open to the idea of thinking about intermittent silence. Mm-hmm. So here is the fifth part, which I also say that, yes, thoughts will come and hijack you. It's okay. When you notice that you have been hijacked, just come back and let it just, you know, start again, let it pass by. Because that is where people think that they have failed meditation, because they can't, they try to focus the thoughts. And you cannot focus the thought. That's why when I said about mind, two components, minding and mindfulness. Minding is a process. It's like you try to give shape to water without a container. It's not mm-hmm. going to happen. So you try to focus the mind. It's not going to happen. But if you let the thoughts go by, your mind go, you may be able to go to that beyond mind state, which is the individual consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling is amazing. But I don't want to lure people, because when you go there and you start looking for, you know, that individual consciousness, it never happens.
Yeah.
The moment you start longing, it doesn't come.
That's the hardest part, right? Once you get that, once you get that feeling, once you do kind of achieve that meditative state of consciousness, you want to get back to it. But the conundrum is you got there by not trying to get there. So by trying to get back to that state, it's kind of counterintuitive.
It's very much like sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can switch off the light, you can lie down, you can have a cozy, you know, quilt on top of you. You cannot force sleep on you. So sleep has to just happen to you. And that's what we all, you know, it just happens. There are meditation in my app. There is a meditation called Yoga Nidra, which is conscious deep sleep. You can take your consciousness there and then experience the whole sleep. And it's a beautiful experience. You know, if you ever want to do that, you know, you download the app and try this. It took me a month or so before I could really have that,
yeah.
You know, that conscious deep sleep. But it's an amazing place to be, and you can even brainstorm in that period if you wanted to think about something.
Well, that's that twilight state is often when some of the best ideas come to surface. And I think that's scientifically proven at this point, but anecdotally proven in that you talk to some of the best rock stars or writers or authors, and they'll tell you that a lot of their ideas came from that sleepy
inner
state.
Voice they use, you know, they say, you know, I went into silence and
mm-hmm.
out came this title of the book, you know.
So, yeah, I've heard people describe
soup,
it.
The chicken soup.
The chicken soup for the soul. That's a good example of it.
Yeah, he mentions that in one of his interviews that, you know, it came from that inner silence or inner voice.
Yeah. I've heard people say that some of their biggest hits, they don't even attribute it to themselves. They say it came from somewhere that they came from within, and they were unaware of where it came from. Now, one of the other questions I had is, first of all, I wanted to mention, you said the app is Relax with two X's, right?
Right.
And is that's available on Google Play, Apple, everywhere?
Yeah. And the best way to get there is relax.org with two X, mm-hmm. and there is download link on that.
Relax.org. Okay. So I'll put a link to that. I'll put a link to that in the podcast as well. My podcast, Unmotivated Habits, is about kind of trying to incorporate things like this into daily life, but in a very small achievable way so that you can build upon it. So I know for me, this journey started with, I was trying to sit down and sit in silence for 30 minutes, 40 minutes a day, but often I'd forget and then I'd lose it for a few days. So I just then started with just 2 minutes. I said, I'm just going to set a goal for myself to sit in silence for 2 minutes. Because that way, if I've forgotten, at least I can do it at the end of the day. And from that, it quickly went into 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, however I was feeling. Do you have any tips for people just starting out who are finding it difficult to even sit in silence for any period of time?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. 10 minutes of intermittent silence or sitting in silence is harder to do compared to half an hour or an hour of guided meditation. Because the guided meditation, there's somebody who's, you know, who's giving you a string to hold on to. Whereas this one, you are saying, oh, when is my 10 minutes going to stop, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
How long more, you know? It's like when we were driving and kids in the back of the seat, you know? It's like, when do we reach the, you know, destination? Yeah. So, you absolutely right. So people can start with 5 minutes or a shorter duration. I said 10 minutes because 10 minutes is doable. You may have to push yourself, and most people can push 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it won't be easy the first times and or first few times. But as you know, once you get the hang of it, it's so beautiful. You go into that, I don't know, you said twilight zone or some different zone. But the beauty of this intermittent silence practice or meditation is that there is no end point. Many people believe as if there is, you know, they have to reach somewhere. There's no end point. It's, you will have unique experience each time you go into it, different experience. And it's also like, as we said about sleep, you go to sleep, you wake up. The same way, you go into meditation or intermittent silence, then you come out and you are a normal person, except that you do have, you know, a little extra benefit of practicing that.
Yeah, and I find that it gets better with time. And one of, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Naval Ravikant, but I heard him describe it once as his silent, his practice of silence as your mind is like a Gmail, like your email inbox, and it's, you've just let it get filled and with unread messages. And the more you sit in silence, you're kind of clearing out that inbox and all those things that are in your mind, they'll come, they'll pass, and you're clearing out your inbox little by little. So as you're getting that inbox cleared out, it's just becoming better and better each time you sit in silence. So by the time you've completely cleared it out, you're not so worried about that thing that happened 4 years ago that you wish you would have done better, that thing you wish you said 10 years ago. You're down to like, oh, I think I forgot to lock the door when I left the house or something like that. It's just you're literally clearing your mind out.
Yeah, clearing becomes a process. So I don't know, I understand him well, because if you are in silence, you're doing nothing. So I don't try to clear anything.
It just naturally does as the thoughts come and you let them pass by.
Yeah, let them just pass by. So it's not like, the psychoanalysis where you go into some previous incident that happened to you and now you have, you know, you are complete with that. It's, you know, I think the silence practice, you know, the strength of silence and, you know, just grows on you. There is more to it, I think, than just what we have talked. We also, when you sit down like that, you are conserving a lot of energy. So you are resting your brain, you are conserving energy, and all that energy creates, you know, you are somehow creating some energy as well. So there is a process of energy happening in the background. And if you have conserved energy, you have not wasted your energy, and you created some new energy, your energy level is higher, so you're just more peaceful.
Yeah, I read in an article, I forget which one I was reading, it was one of your articles, or it was about you, that you became interested in this to combat burnout in the medical field, because you saw so many people just burning out. I'm sure a lot of people can apply that to their own professions and own jobs, just feeling burnout. Can you speak a little bit about that, how it helps combat that feeling?
So there is 50% burnout rate in physicians. And I talked to other industries, you know, some construction industry and all that. It's high as well. My focus went to 50% that don't burn out.
Yeah.
What attributes do they have? And that's what I was talking to you. Probably they were born with a little higher energy level or little different size of the flame. And can the other people develop those? So some people have physical strength more than others, but the people who don't have that much physical strength can gain physical strength by doing exercise, doing by yoga, and practicing that. Similarly, by practicing intermittent silence and meditation, you can do that. I mean, there are retreats for whole 1 week or 10 days of silence. And you do like Vipassana retreat or other meditations. I'm trying to bring these things in mainstream, and to bring it in mainstream, I think a practice of few minutes a day is almost or as effective, or, you know, even more effective then doing one retreat, and then, you know,
back to life.
Back to normal. Yeah, it should be part of life.
I found that I look forward to those moments now. So I'll wake up and I'll try to do 10 minutes in the morning, and then all day I'm just looking forward to getting back to that. Oh, I can't wait to sit in silence tonight. I can't wait till I'm done this so I can just have a moment of silence. And you learn to incorporate that into everything. Like I no longer run with music all the time. I'll go into the woods and just listen to sounds. I'll go for walks without headphones. You learn to stop distracting yourself, I guess, because you learn to really appreciate that silence.
Yeah. No. You're right. There is a jogging meditation on my app as well, but not with closed eyes.
That'd be tough.
That would be tough. But practice of intermittent silence or any meditation, one of the things that most people say, I say as well, try to do it same time, same place, and same surrounding. And then you will feel like, as if the time is waiting for you, as the place is waiting for you. Yeah. Somehow you go there, you are halfway there. And it's fun to do it in that fashion.
I have a question for you that's probably a little out there, because I've heard this from people and I definitely have felt it myself. I have a place where I meditate. And I really, like, I love that spot. I have a place in my house. And then I have a place where I go walking. And same time, same place, where I'll be in silence with my thoughts. Do you think there's any truth to the fact that you're kind of building an energy in that place, so that by returning to it, there is more to it than just that's the place I meditate, but you're kind of turning that into a special place, and there's an energy there now?
I truly believe that there is.
Okay.
If you go to some ancient temples in India, you know, especially you go to South Indian temples, you will see there is a big periphery, you know, it's like maybe 2 mile radius or whatever. I mean, it's a huge radius and big walls and everything. And you keep going in and in, the statue that is there in the center has a very small area, and it's covered by, surrounded by a wall that's very tiny. And the whole idea is that there was concentrated energy there, and they don't want it to dissipate. And you can say you don't believe in it, or you can say you believe in it. So one of the things I do, I mean, invariably, if I go to any religious place, temple or church or whatever I can go to, or Sedona, Arizona, I like to sit down and do what you are saying, be in silence, and I'll do half an hour, and it just feels great, because it feels like it's not only you and your energy or energy that you have created, you are also inviting other positive energy to be around you. And I do believe they come.
I mean, I believe
the universe is more than what we see.
And I believe it, because there's a path where I regularly walk, and it seems that in the same spot, the same length of trail, ideas just seem to come to me when I'm walking in silence. And I don't know what it is. It's just a special place. But so I truly do believe that.
Somehow, if you do these things, and it's hard to prove, because you don't have a comparison, but your life, I mean, somehow the universe aligns with your life, and it does become a little smoother.
The same goes with, as you're sitting in silence and all the positive energy you're kind of inviting in when you do that, it does seem to change your life for the better in ways that are they're less explainable than just the scientific giving your mind a break, giving your mouth a break, giving your eyes a break. There's something more to it that certainly can't be explained, at least to this point.
Yeah. What is obvious, you know, I'm stating that part too.
Yeah, exactly. You're marrying it to the scientific side of things as well, which I appreciate because that kind of does give more credibility to it. So it's not just, hey, I think this works. We know it works from a scientific standpoint as well.
So here is the other part of the same equation, you know. So the four steps we talked about, the fifth one, which it's hard to control the environment, but mm-hmm. it helps deal with that. So if you have practiced intermittent silence or silence, as you mentioned, somehow when there is an emotional storms arise mm-hmm. to you, you can handle it better because you can have that little separation or little gap between that emotional storm and you.
Yeah.
And you can see that. And yes, you may still be carried on and you may still be angry, but somehow it's a different qualitative difference is there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you sometimes have to use anger, you can control the anger rather than anger controlling you. And I'm using anger as one of the emotional storms.
Yeah.
But you understand what I'm trying
to do. I'm trying to think of some of the ways I've read it in that, like that anger is an emotion. It's separate from your consciousness. And you are not that anger. It's just something that your body is experiencing at the moment. And when you can, like you said, when you can view it that way, you can separate it from yourself. It definitely makes it easier to handle. And that goes with, you know, all emotions.
Yeah, all emotions are all, I use the word emotional storms, but you know, they sometimes come like a storm or even a tsunami. Definitely.
Oh, I've certainly experienced plenty of them. I think that's a great place to end this episode. I'd definitely love to speak to you more if you're open to it. I know there's a lot of other topics I'd be thrilled to cover, maybe a little bit more out there things about some of the spiritual practices I incorporate into my life, not just meditation and silence. But relax with 2x's.org and relax the app. I'll point everyone in that direction. Where else can people find you?
KrishnaUniverse.com is Krishna, another website I have.
Okay.
Those are my, you know, I mean, the medical field, people will find me, you know.
Yeah. Sure. Well, Krishna, thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, I enjoyed so much. I mean, talking to you was a treat.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I hope everyone gives it a chance, at least. I hope everyone tries to incorporate some silence into their life. As we said, just start small, build from it. But definitely people will see the benefits.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And anytime you want to come on, I'll certainly reach out to you again. But anytime you want to come on, just let me know and we can have a chat.
Yeah.